Welcome to your podcast. And of course, this is episode number 4, and I want to welcome Mike to your podcast. How you doing, Mike?
So far, so good. Recovering from a week off and a week at the NAB show, but otherwise, doing good.
Well, you know, you got back on Friday. I flew home yesterday, so I can hear it in our voices. Sounds like we got a little bit of crud going on, but I think it's more, you know, when you're in Vegas, you have to talk so loud because it's just loud.
Yeah, you know, at the show, you know, talking to anybody over the crowd noise or, you know, when we were out and about, you know, the music's just pounding everywhere and, you know, it's just the way it is. So we both blew out our voices a little bit and should sound normal next time.
Yeah, but I tell you, the noise pollution can get to you there. It can just drive you absolutely insane with the casinos and everything. But anyway, that's not what everybody's here for. We've got a lot to share and a little time to do it, so get right into it. One thing I do want to just mention, and it's not on our agenda there, Mike, is I turned on the new Podcast Awards website this morning at podcastawards.com. And so all the new rules and the new website design and everything is done.
Oh, so, have to go check that out.
Yeah, so we'll see what the feedback is from the community. It hadn't been on 3 minutes, and I already had some comments from some people. So time will tell on how the changes are made out. But the big news while we were gone was that Bill O'Reilly got fired at Fox, and he immediately almost pivoted and turned to premium podcasting. And what are you hearing on this story?
Well, Jen Thorpe over at Podcaster News wrote up a pretty good article. I mean, not, kind of short on details so far because, you know, it's pretty new. But he's doing a premium podcast. It's going to cost listeners $4.95 a month to hear the whole show. He does have a free version of it that comes out, and yeah, he's switching to podcasting and, you know, going all in on that. And should be good for him. You know, Glenn Beck did the same thing back in the day, and there's been others. And I think with his audience, he's going to be pretty successful at it.
Yeah, I would imagine so. He may not be making as much money as he did at Fox, but at least he... at least I have a little bit of a revenue stream. I don't think he's going to be hurting at all. I'm sure he got some sort of a, well, I don't know if he got a severance package if they fired him. But needless to say, he's been making a lot of money for a lot of years.
Yeah, in the article here, she says that he's going to be donating any revenues from the podcast to worthwhile charities, in quotes. So I'm sure he's doing okay money-wise. I think... he just wants to get the word out, and why not raise some money for some charities? And you know, with an audience like that, premium podcasting works.
Yeah, it does. So I guess if you're a Bill O'Reilly fan, then that's an option for you to still be able to listen into his content.
Yeah, they've been losing a lot of people over at Fox, so that whole network's going to kind of change, but we'll leave the politics out of it, I guess.
And, of course, what did I do here? I switched off. Oh, there we go. I got our sheet back. I was on the wrong sheet. So let's, you know, while we were at NAB, I was on two different panels. You were only in attendance for one. The first one was, had a pretty... Well, what did we have, 80 or 90 people in the room?
Yeah, something like that. And it was all radio people, or extensively.
So the panel was made up of Rob McCracken, Rob Greenlee, Rob Walsh, and I. And it's a lot of Robs. But we really talked about podcasting and radio and gave them insights into, you know, what radio organizations are currently doing in the podcasting space. So as an independent content creator myself, you know, I don't have to worry about having a GM to answer to because I am the GM. So, but, you know, a lot of radio groups, they've got to convince the GM of a specific radio station or group to start podcasting. what were your takeaways from the presentation?
The presentation was good. You know, everybody more or less agreed. There were some disagreements, of course, you know, different philosophies on things, but, you know, overall it was pretty good. One of the things that they talked about was, you know, how iTunes is such a big player and all that. And, you know, I just remember the guy that got up and asked about that. You know, he asked about the, I got ratings and reviews and all that, and that's going to help me in iTunes. And, you know, and he got universally shot down by everybody in a nice way.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, I think the questions were good from the audience, and you guys handled it great.
Well, I kind of stuck to really kind of the, you know, the who, what, you know, the who, what's and why's and how much and how long. And that, you know, that I saw a lot of people's pens flying when I was kind of going through those metrics. And it is an interesting time because radio is, you know, they're, let's be honest, they are admitting themselves. They are now starting to be in a transition point. So, you know, it's, as I said to the audience, I said, you need to start hedging your bets. You know, your multi-billion-dollar industry is not going anywhere anytime soon. And all that incredible valuable spectrum that they control and own is not being redistributed. So, you know, radio is not going anywhere, but their audience is. So they need just to hedge and be ready as things shift.
Yeah, they need to follow their audience. And, you know, and local radio can expand their audience with podcasting. And I think, you know, I forget which one of you on the panel brought that up, but, you know, a local radio station may only have a certain geographic reach. With podcasting, you can go worldwide, so you can gain more fans than you had on terrestrial. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they do understand that, and that's why a lot of radio groups are now coming to, you know, the four of you plus several other podcasting companies to get a podcast going or get several podcasts going.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with the radio over the next year. I knew that, you know, we've been busy. We've been talking to a lot of radio groups ourselves. So time will prove whether or not they roll on and use all that great talent they have. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, what did you think overall of the entire NAB show?
It was really good. I noticed there was some themes, you know, that just a lot of times when you walk through a big show like that, you look at companies and you wonder, what do they do? You know, and that was one of the things I noticed. There were so many booths that were just, there was no information unless you walked up and talked to them, because what they had on their signage was absolutely, you know, not descriptive in any way. And, you know, I think of that for, you know, when we display at some shows, that, you know, we should make sure that people know what we do from 10 feet away. And I noticed that wasn't the thing. I also noticed there was not as much radio stuff there, you know, speaking of radio. It seemed, you know, a lot of video production, a lot of, you know, the normal transmitter manufacturers and microwaves and, you know, that kind of thing. But there wasn't a ton of just radio companies there.
Yeah. So, you know, I agree with you. There was a walk by some booths and, you know, they spent $10,000, $11,000, $12,000, you know, they probably $5,000-$6,000 for the booth plus, you know, the food in their hotels and airfare. And they got $20,000 in and I don't know what they do unless I knew the company's name. So, you know, we worked really hard at that to make sure people know what we do when they walk, because you got like 3 seconds, 4 seconds to capture someone's eye at the most. And your signage is just absolutely critical.
Right. And I'm sure a lot of those companies are well known in broadcasting, and me not being as into broadcasting as I am into other things, you know, I probably didn't recognize them. So there was probably some of them that just could be on their name, you know.
But at the same point, their booths were empty.
That's true.
There wasn't people standing there.
That's true. So. But, you know, like I said, it was, you know, colorful as usual and lots of things to look at. You know, I wish I had a much larger checkbook.
Yeah, me too.
Couldn't write checks for all that cool stuff. You know, one of the big things I saw a lot of talk about was that NDI stuff from NewTek.
That's
new standard.
It made me really excited because both the folks, and for what NDI is, folks, it's an audio video protocol over IP. So it basically allows the transport of or video sources to be available as a IPO deliverable video stream. And the folks from Wirecast and Livestream and many other companies are implementing the protocol. So just to give an example in how powerful this is here in this studio, we're only doing audio today, but when I run my TriCaster, I have 6 video feeds that are available, 4 cameras, and then the 2 Skype channels are both video feeds. So if I set up my Wirecast system out in the garage, anytime that my TriCaster is turned on here in the studio, as long as I'm plugged into the network with the Wirecast system in the garage, the Wirecast system will be able to see all 6 of those video inputs from the TriCaster and will be able to map them as sources. So it's like, wow, it's a big deal. And same vice versa. If something in the garage is wired, I'll be able to see it here on the TriCaster as a pull down. So it's very, 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 very big. And of course, audio over IP seem to be pretty big too.
Yeah, I think the issue I saw with audio over IP, there's not just one standard yet. And, you know, where NDI seems to be kind of the de facto standard for the video side, the audio over IP, there seem to be several different companies doing different protocols and all that. And audio over IP is kind of the same sort of thing. It's within a studio, so it's probably not applicable to most podcasters, but you know, it'd be kind of like you could put a microphone in another room, and instead of having to run a long wire to your mixer, you would run a Wi-Fi to it or Ethernet to it, and then it would just be available as another source to your mixer. Now, of course, your mixer would have to be compatible with that protocol. Like I said, it's not for most podcasters, but
I wonder though if you could have, because you know the overhead for audio is much lower than video, so I wonder if you could do audio over IP over like between you and I with one of those boxes that specifically do that.
That's worth looking into.
it is, and you know, so many podcasters have so much challenges with Skype. And I don't know what those audio over IP systems cost or what the bandwidth requirements are, but you know, the overhead for audio is, you know, much, much lower. So it's an interesting thought.
Like NDI for video wouldn't probably work over internet unless you had a fat pipe, you know.
Yeah, you'd almost need a dedicated fiber or something between 2 sources. Well, the controversy of the week and rolling into the weekend was this article that came out by Bridge Ratings talking about podcasting's best practices, a study that they had done where they made the proclamation, it shall be known from here forth forward that the ideal length of a podcast is 22 minutes. I so proclaim, bridgeratings.com.
Those over the years, you know, since I've been in this since 2005, you since 2004, and you know, there's always, well, the ideal length of a podcast is X or X because of the average commute is such and such, you know, crap. That's crap. The top podcasts, you know, there's no pattern. There's no pattern. You know, like what is that? Dan Carlin with his history podcast, you know, he has a 6-hour podcast out, his last episode, 6 hours. That's one of the top podcasts in the world. You know, of course, that's not 22 minutes, and you're not going to sit there for 6 hours and listen to the whole thing either, probably. You know,
no.
You look at
well, Adam, or you listen. You're going to listen to it in segments, maybe 20-minute segments.
Yeah, maybe even 22-minute segments. That's the thing. You know, he said 22 minutes. Well, you know, if we happen to do a podcast that's 22 minutes, that's purely by accident.
It takes me 22 minutes to introduce my regular show. You know, I just, this whole thing about length, here's the deal. People will listen as long as the content is good. They, you know, crap content, you know, crap audience length. Great content, great. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. So, yeah. You know, here's my advice. Quit listening to the people selling the potion for, you know, $89.95 that will guarantee podcast success. You just need to do what you want to do. Have fun. Share your information. Don't worry about.
Right. And if you say you're going to do a 30-minute podcast and you only have 15 minutes worth of content, then stop at 15 minutes.
Yeah, you know. And you could, you know, this ideal length. And, you know, Nick Kwa, who I shouldn't even say his name on this show because he doesn't care about us. He doesn't care about independent podcasters. You know, he cares about the public radio side and, you know, some of those big names are on the East Coast. And he lives in a bubble, absolute bubble, and he refuses to give credence to anything that, okay, let's just be straight up here. Blueberry, which is us, Podbean, Libsyn, and a few others have about 95%. We work with 95% of the rest of the podcasting space, including some of those big companies, which is kind of ironic that he's always referencing. We work with those folks either through hosting, through stats, through advertising deals, and we know what's going on in the space, but yet he's never, he poo-poos anything that we say. So, you know, Nick, if you're listening, get, you know, you need to broaden your horizons a little bit. And until you do, I'm not giving you, you know, any more. Well, actually, I read his, you remember when you were a kid, Mike, and you got the Sunday funnies?
Yep.
So that's how I look at his content. It's almost like my weekly laugh of misinformation. And, you know, once in a while, he'll get something right. But for the most part, his perspective is so narrow. But anyway, it is what it is.
Yeah, and like I said, some of his information is good about, you know, those public radio and Gimlet Media and, you know, that kind of outfit. And,
sure.
You know, but that's what it is. It's not the whole podcasting space. No, it's just that East Coast bubble, as you call it.
And I know I know Rob over at Podcast 411, he posted a long article about this in response because, you know, he's just like, stop. And my point is, and our point is, I don't care how long your show is, as long as it's good, I'll listen. You know, that's the key.
Right. Yeah, I've got a podcast that I listen to religiously. It's 3 hours long.
Me too.
It takes me all week, but I do it.
Yeah, I've got two that I listen, or I get two episodes that come out from a show that's 3 hours each. And luckily, I've got a very long commute. I've got, I'm running my kids back and forth and so forth to school. So I'm usually on the road about 2 hours a day. So, you know, I've got plenty of time to listen to a lot of shows. All right. I think we've basically beat a dead horse on that. So do whatever you want, folks. Don't listen to these knuckleheads on the ideal length of a podcast. Do what you want to do.
Right.
Let's talk a little tech. What's going on with the tech side? I know that Sean and Charles held the fort down while you were gone, but did the phones explode this morning?
Not too bad. Got a couple phone calls, but definitely had a pile of email to go through. I actually started yesterday a little bit, so got through a lot of that. But it was great to, you know, take some time off. And one of the recurring themes I keep seeing, and, you know, especially with Blueberry customers, but this applies to pretty much anybody, you can pretty much change anything about your show without scrapping it and starting from scratch. So many people just want to scrap the whole thing and then start from scratch. Well, sometimes you don't need to do that. If it's just, you know, you want to change the title of your show, or you, you know, in Blueberry, you want to change the email address that for that you use to log into Blueberry. That all can be changed. You know, as far as anything about your feed, just change it in, you know, whatever you use to generate your feed. You know, in our case, it would be PowerPress or the generator right there at Blueberry. But you could change all that stuff right there within your RSS feed settings and not have to delete anything, because everything will update. You know, everything looks at your RSS feed. They don't look at your settings at Blueberry. They don't look at anything at Apple. They look at, you know, what's in your RSS feed, and you can change that. Some of the stuff, you know, at Blueberry, like the login email, you have to contact us to change that. You know, same thing with the directory listing at Blueberry. You can go in there yourself and change the feed address we're looking at. So if you change your domain name of your website, or, you know, some reason move to a different hosting platform or move to a different RSS feed, just go right in there in your listing settings. There's a spot right there to put your RSS feed in there. Change it. Hit save and update, and our directory will start looking at that feed.
So in the dashboard at blueberry.com, Mike, where exactly, what section is that in?
Yeah, right. When you log into Blueberry, you go to the podcaster dashboard, and it's right there in the upper left, should be the first block. It says directory listing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're hosting with us and you're using the Blueberry feed, you won't see this option, but everybody else will see the option. It says listing settings.
Mm-hmm.
If you're hosting with Blueberry and you're generating your feed from blueberry.com as opposed to a WordPress site or a PowerPress site, then you kind of change that in a different spot within your thing. Contact us. We'll help you out with that. But it's right there. There's a whole section for directory listing, and you can change anything about your directory listing right there. You can also, you know, if you have episodes you don't want to show in your listing, there's a manage episodes link down in the, I think it's in the hosting section. It's kind of in the middle, but you'll see that it says manage episodes. So you could go in there and change those or delete
them. So the main thing is you can do that on your own. You don't have to submit a ticket to do that, because a lot of people, and I think what happens is a lot of people just say, well, I'll just submit a ticket and do it. But it's most of it is self-serve. The only thing they can't do on their own is change the email address for their account. They do have to submit a ticket for that, right?
Yeah. And the reason for that is we got to make sure that email address is good, because, you know, you could change it to anything and then we wouldn't be able to get a hold of you. You wouldn't be able to get a hold of us, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to make sure that's right. So if you need to change your login email, just contact us and Sean, so Charles, or I, we'll take care of that.
Yeah, but so far as the email address and the RSS feed, that's controlled by your either PowerPress being able to enter it there, or actually you're probably your hosting provider if you're not using a PowerPress feed. We assume if you're listening to the show.
Yeah, that's true.
That you're using the best practice by having a WordPress/PowerPress combination, and you have your own feed. That's, you know, what we assume for those of you listening to your
podcast. Yeah, and in PowerPress, it's in the iTunes tab. It's just the iTunes email. You know, it's called iTunes email. It'll probably be called Apple Podcasting email or something at some point, but that's where you change it. In the Blueberry dashboard, if you're using a feed from Blueberry, it's in there. If you're using some other hosting service, they probably have a spot in there to change the feed email.
Well, some don't.
Yeah, some might not, but most should if they're reputable.
There's a few podcast hosting companies that put their email address in their RSS feed that you rent from them.
That's
true. And then when you submit your feed or if they submit your feed to iTunes, you no longer... You're totally screwed. You don't get any notices from iTunes. Nothing.
You don't own that feed. That's the problem.
Yeah, you don't own it for sure. And if you want to move it, you're at the mercy of that company to move it and make changes.
Yeah, some companies will do a redirect for you. Some won't, and that's why we at Blueberry make sure that you can do that. That's also something you have to contact us about if you're moving away from us. Just contact us. We'll put in the redirects. It's easier that way.
Oh, if you're moving away from this and you're using a blueberry.com.
Yeah, if you're using a blueberry.com feed. Now, hey, another thing is if you're hosting.
Let's clarify that. So if some people can, people host with us using the Blueberry as their content management system, and they actually have a Blueberry specific feed.
Yeah.
Those of you that are using PowerPress, you can just
do it yourself.
You do your own. You do it yourself. Do your own 301. Right.
Right. But you know, if you're hosting with us and you're using the generator, we call it the blueberry.com website for your feed.
Right.
You know, just let us know. We can redirect it. And if you're hosting with us and you move to PowerPress, we can make that 301 for you. So it's real easy to move on to PowerPress sites or a site of your own with PowerPress.
One thing that, you know, what some of you may be asking, why are some people using a Blueberry feed? Well, we get a lot of professional organizations, banks, dentists, you name it, runs the gamut, real estate companies. Really, they have their own platforms that they built over the years that are not really RSS friendly. So they basically are looking, most of them are just looking for a place to post their show and then have a feed they can submit to iTunes and have an embeddable player, which they can put on their website with their own content management systems. That's what the use case is for a lot of folks that may use the blueberry.com actually publishing system versus, you know, basically being able to use WordPress with PowerPress where they can just post, upload, and publish from within their own management, within the CMS of WordPress. So that's kind of the use case for those of you that may be wondering.
If you're just starting out from scratch, we highly discourage the use of that. You know,
right. We want you to, WordPress, PowerPress is the best combo.
Yeah, because that way you own everything about it, and it's just a way better way to go, and it's easier.
So something that comes up all the time is hosting reset date. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, a lot of people will get to the end of the month and notice that they don't have enough space. So they go ahead and they upgrade. Well, what they don't realize is that, say you've uploaded 90 megabytes and you go from our 100 megabyte plan to our 250 megabyte plan, that 90 megabytes still counts till the end of the month. It resets at the first of the month regardless of what plan you're on.
Yeah, so it rolls over on the first. You don't get you go from 100 to 250, you get an extra 150 megs of space.
Right.
Yeah, through the end of the month.
You don't get, you know, and then we've had a few people like that. And we're pretty liberal about that. We can make sure that it's right. So, you know, don't hesitate to contact us, but, you know, just know that the hosting quotas reset at the first of the month, regardless of whether you upgraded, downgraded, or otherwise. And
One thing too, Mike, is that if they go from 100 to 250 plan, what happens then is that they actually, their 25% overage allowance grows as well. So they, you know, they get 25% extra on 250. So that helps them at times get over the hump too, to make it to the first when we reset the storage quota.
Right. And like I said, just contact us if you run into that problem and we'll take care of you. Don't worry about it.
Yep. But that is true though. A lot of people get started. And they'll start on the 100 meg plan and with full intention of just maybe doing a couple of episodes a month. And then the bug kind of catches them and they're enjoying it. And they maybe switch to 4 and then maybe go a little longer. And next thing you know, they're kind of out of space. So they have to bump to the 250 meg plan. I would say that the 100 and 250 meg plan are by far the most popular two plans that we have. There are some superstars that are all the way up in the, you know, in the top tier, but usually those are folks that are, you know, doing those couple hour shows several times a week, and they need a lot of storage. But we've seen a lot of people converting recently is that they've got 2 or 3 shows that are kind of like that. They're big, and then they just switch to our basically what we will call our pro plan. We have a flat rate system where you get really essentially unlimited storage, but the billing is a little bit different on how the media is delivered and the cost thereof. But if you've got 2 or 3 shows on Blueberry and you're spending over $100 a month, you may want to talk to us. We might be able to save you a little money if you've got multiple shows.
Right, right.
A pro plan.
Yeah, that pro plan, it's becoming pretty popular, especially as we were talking about at the beginning of the show, the radio groups. You know,
oh, yeah.
A lot of radio stations will bring on, you know, say they've got 10 radio stations, and each radio station might have two or three shows. Well, instead of paying for an individual account for each one, they get that pro hosting plan, and, you know, it's just one bill, and it covers everybody.
Right.
So, yeah, definitely talk to us. We'll send McKinsey an email, and she can explain that all to you and or Todd, and I can help you get set up.
So this week Mike and I, just as we said, we're getting back from the NAB show, and we're both of us are trying to get kind of caught up and get our land legs held here. Yeah. We want to hear from you, and I think actually there was, I think we're remiss, Mike. I think there was an email that had come in to the show, and I don't have it in front of me. Naughty, naughty.
I don't either. We'll get you next week or next time.
Yeah, we'll apologize about that. But we'll make sure we get that put racked and stacked into the content. But how can they reach us, Mike?
It's yourpodcast@blueberry.com.
So you can send your comments or topics that you want us to cover. But, as we're doing this show, as we've said from the very beginning, is we want to, spend a little time and talk about what's going on in the space and share you some tech content on what's relevant with what's going on at blueberry.com. We're going to have some big, big shows coming shortly because we're ready. Well, matter of fact, we're testing this week and through the following week the new PowerPress Sites Deluxe package. The dev team is got it finished. They're now doing some stuff in our commerce system, but we are we're close. The goal yeah, is to launch that on May 15th, which will be the next episode of this podcast. So we'll be talking a lot about PPS Deluxe on that episode. But Mike, I know you got an actual scheduled call coming in a few minutes. So any last thoughts before we wrap up your podcast episode number 4?
No, just like I said, get a hold of us, yourpodcast@blueberry.com, and we'll definitely get that answered in the show or directly, one or the other. And yeah, come back in a couple of weeks. Hopefully we'll have some information on PPS Deluxe.
Well, Mike, water and lemon, my friend, that'll help the voice. So I'm going to be doing a regimen of that today. And everyone that has been listening to us today, thank you so much for hanging out with us on your podcast.